Good morning, lovely to see you all today. If you're watching at home and here in the building, great to have you here. Let's pray as we come and look at God's word this morning. Father, we do want to thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it's timeless and true. It lifts us up. It shows us your glory. Would we see more of who you are? Would we see the comfort that brings and the blessing that can be to our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, imagine if this morning I gave you a pen and you had a big chart in front of you, maybe a flip chart, there goes the lid, and I asked you to draw on the flip chart your life in one line. I wonder how you draw it. Would you draw it like this? Maybe there's these moments when you're having a high and moments when you're kind of average. Then moments when you come right down and it's really low. And life is like that, isn't it? And it's like a series of ups and downs. Sometimes the downs are really deep and dark. Sometimes the highs are extraordinary. But the reality is, all of us would draw a wiggly line because that is life. Life is like that. There are many ups and downs. I think of my own life, richly blessed by the Lord. But actually, there's been many joys and many sorrows. Many ups and downs. And I find when it's up, it's easy to believe God's promises that he is with us. And when the sun is shining down on me and life is all that it could be, it's easy to trust, easy to believe, easy to praise. But when you're in the pits, you can easily begin to wonder, does God care? Does he love me? Is he with me? Is he for me? Sometimes you might feel like God is against me. I wonder how Joseph felt. The beginning of chapter 39 in verse 1. There he is. He's been in a slave market. That must have been hugely difficult for him. Humiliating. Tricky for him. Displayed like a product in a shop for someone to buy. So dehumanizing. Powerless. No autonomy. Far from home. Rejected by his brothers. Far away from the love of his dear father. I guess he's wondering how those dreams he had that made him so elated would ever come to be. Maybe it all seemed impossible as he became an item in a checkout. Now, we're not told how he felt, but as we look at him and this ever-decreasing dip in his life, it looked like things couldn't get much worse. Sold as a slave. Tempted but resolute, then falsely accused by his master's wife, and then imprisoned. He could have asked, where is the Lord? Has God abandoned me? Am I forsaken? Does he know? Does he care? Is he angry with me? Can his word of promise, those dreams, ever come true? Well, in the school of faith recorded for us, what does the Lord want each of us to learn today? What is the truth that comes resoundingly through this passage time and time again? Well, it's a glorious truth there in verse 2. Can you see it? The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. God had not abandoned Joseph. He was with Joseph, for Joseph, working for Joseph's goods, securing his promises to his people. I'm going to see three things this morning. From this passage. Firstly, in slavery, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, we may know the promise, brothers and sisters, in our heads, where Jesus says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But it's hugely moving to see it in practice in people's lives, isn't it? When they take hold of that. And we see that in the life of Joseph, that the Lord is with him. That's what we see, because the Lord was with Joseph in terrible times. Because the Lord's plan included terrible times, servitude to Potiphar and his family. And yet the Lord was working through him and was with him, blessing the nations, even then in microcosm, and this family in Egypt. And clearly Joseph is vocal about the God that he follows. How else could Potiphar have said verse 3? Look at verse 3. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Verse 4, Joseph gets promotion. Joseph clearly was not ashamed to belong to the Lord or to testify to the Lord. There's no other way that Potiphar would have known that the Lord is with Joseph, except Joseph opened his mouth. And the great thing, friends, is this, that Joseph is no preacher or missionary or minister. He's an administrator. He's an organizer. He's been gifted by God to be very effective in the role that he has. And as he serves the Lord wholeheartedly, this is a great witness to Potiphar. But it could have been so different, couldn't it? Could have been so different for him. Joseph could have been a miserable servant, resenting his master. And yet, even in these dark times, he serves a greater master. A great principle for us all this morning, isn't it? If we're at work or serving in any way, even if it's a terrible job that we hate, or it's really tough, or it's really difficult, and we struggle, it's what Paul in Colossians 3 calls all Christian workers to do. I found this verse very helpful at times. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not human masters. That's what Joseph did by God's grace and help. And the Lord prospers his work, and it blessed Potiphar's household. You know, Christians should be the best workers. People may think your views are weird and your beliefs are odd and strange, but they should always be sorry to lose you, not relieved when you walk out. Our work should adorn the gospel, friends, and it should bless others. Look at the fruit of this man of God, Joseph. Look at verses 4 to 6. Joseph found favor in his eyes, that's Potiphar's eyes, and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. All he had to think about was chicken or beef. That was it. Nothing else. Joseph looked after it. He's less of a butler, more of a CEO. Don't you think that Joseph, even in this tough time of loss and servitude, would have been encouraged that the Lord was blessing him and with him, enabling him to make progress and to serve him well in the household of Pharaoh? For sure, the Lord was training him and teaching him through all of his sufferings to greater faith and godliness and faith in the faithfulness of the Lord, preparing him for his future role. Isn't it great to see that the Lord was with Joseph in slavery? The Lord was with him. Secondly, let's see this. In temptation, the Lord was with Joseph. Do you see how the writer sets up this whole scene? For this relentless battle with sexual temptation. It's there at the end of verse 6. Have a look at it. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. There could be trouble ahead, we think. We know he got his looks from his mother. Remember that? And his great-grandmother. His mother Rachel was the beautiful one of the sisters. His great-grandmother Sarah was a looker. She caught the eye of Pharaoh many years before. And we know that Jacob, his dad, was strong. Remember, he got his guns out last year and he shifted a massive stone off a well that normally took many, many people to do it. He's got a great gene pool. No wonder Joseph was handsome and strong and buff. That's how God had made him, with those family genes. And even in this detail, set him up to be a huge distraction and attraction to Mrs. Potiphar. Notice we don't know her name. The author just reminds us she was off limits. She was somebody else's wife. Verse 7, it was his master's wife. And Joseph was in an impossible situation. He belonged to them. He'd been bought by them. He was their property. So when she pursued him and tried to get him into bed, he could have just thought, well, maybe it's part of the job. Maybe if I don't, it will hold me back. And maybe this could be my ticket to freedom. What an opportunity. He could have easily justified sin. Easy to do that, isn't it, in our work? Easy to justify, well, I had to do it. I would lose my job. I just had to do that thing. But regardless of his position, a servant, not his own, he knows who he belongs to. That he is the Lord, that the Lord is with him. Take a look at how he responds to his master's wife's request in verse 9. Joseph says to her, "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you because you are my wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Do you spot that? His godly loyalty to his boss, his master, but his higher loyalty to his Lord. How could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph knows that the Lord is there. The Lord is not limited to Joseph's prayers and devotions. No, he's the ever-present God who sees all things. The all-knowing God who's present all the time with his people everywhere. Even in this temptation, Joseph wants to honor him, to live for him in this sexual trial. How can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? I will not sleep with you, because I'm living my life before the Lord, before his face. It's quite a contrast to last week, isn't it? There was Judah in a foreign land, just like Joseph. Judah is reckless in his sexuality and sin. And Joseph is faithful, resisting temptation and honoring the Lord. The Lord is the one he's concerned about, living his life before him. Isn't it great that God puts all sorts of restraints in our lives that keeps us on the straight and narrow? To keep us holy, our family, our work, our responsibilities, our roles, all means of his grace that keep us godly and holy. But the biggest challenge is when we're on our own. And the greatest check on our living and life is that we live all of life, even in the darkness, before the Lord who knows and sees. Mrs. Potiphar is determined after this great speech to her in verses 18. He might have thought, relief. I've drawn a line in the sand. I've walked away rejoicing. I stood firm. Huge trial over, it's past. And yet she will not take no for an answer. That's what sin and temptation is like, isn't it? Verse 10, we're told she spoke to him every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, relentlessly pursuing him. He had to keep on saying every day, no. And she saw her opportunity to get what she wanted. And when the house was empty, she grabs him, verse 12. She says, come to bed with me. And Joseph runs and he leaves his cloak behind. What was Joseph's defense in the face of trial and temptation? It was a heart that wanted to live his whole life before the Lord his God. And resisting sin is very practical. Sometimes it's saying no. Other times it's running a mile from temptation. And you know what's tempting you right now? Run a mile from it. So often our desires are to please ourselves, aren't they, and not the Lord. And that leads us into sinful mess. Friends, whatever your struggle with sin is today, and we'll all be facing different things, whether it's pride or dissatisfaction or lust or gossip or gluttony or greed, sin's power over us comes because we want these things more than the Lord. And we can so easily live forgetting that the Lord is present. He's with us always. Don't we need to pray? Don't I need to pray for a heart that wants to please God in the relentless temptations and trials that come my way day after day? To a constant awareness that he sees, he knows, and it's him I want to please and not myself. And that's so hard, isn't it? Often the Lord keeps us in check, doesn't he? Because he surrounds us with his people and responsibilities that keep us from sin. But it's often those alone moments where we're most vulnerable. Friends, maybe right now you're facing this very battle that Joseph is facing. You see in Joseph's life, friends, resist. Persist in resisting and flee sexual immorality. If you need someone to come alongside you in that, to pray with you, speak to a trusted Christian friend. Speak to one of the leaders here. We'd love to pray with you and keep that in confidence and pray with you in this relentless battle. Truth is, in so many ways, we are more like Judah, aren't we, than Joseph. We need to realize again just how much we need God as our ever-present help and Savior, who provides for guilty sinners through Jesus a free gift of righteousness that is not our own. You see, Joseph's awareness of the Lord, that he lives his life before him, an audience of one, keeps him. In temptation, the Lord was with Joseph. And thirdly and finally, in injustice and imprisonment, the Lord was with Joseph. Mrs. Potiphar screams for help. She's got Joseph's coat in her hand. She makes up a story that Joseph was after her. And her husband, rightly, is red, hot, angry. And he could have had him killed, I guess, but he just throws him into prison. How devastating for Joseph. He'd done nothing wrong. He'd done the right thing. But there he was in prison. But don't miss the detail. Look at verse 20. It's not any old prison. It's the king's prison. It's Pharaoh's prison, where we know that a whole series of events will take place that will get God's man Joseph into the presence of Pharaoh. But be in no doubt that this whole awful episode of false accusation and injustice could be used by God. The Lord was securing his promises through his providence. And don't miss the first part of verse 21. It's so beautiful. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Now, do you get the message, friends, this morning? God is with his people. He has not abandoned them, even in the toughest of times. Living a righteous life for Joseph did not result in justice or happiness or ease of life. In fact, it was very difficult. But the Lord was with him. He moved towards him with loving kindness, with hesed, steadfast love. Not abandoned, not forgotten, at work, even in the face of all of this. And the Lord prospered and blessed him in that context and used him even in the prison to bring blessing to others. If you are a Christian this morning, that is, if you're trusting Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you can say, the Lord is with me by his Spirit wherever I go, present in me. And when Jesus says these amazing words in Matthew 28 to his disciples, he says it to every follower of himself. I am with you always to the very end of the age. I will not let go of you. Whatever's going on, I am with you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that glorious truth? Friends, the reason we could ever say that's true of us, that the Lord is with me, is because of the big salvation plan that God is working out through Joseph. All these events that we're reading week after week are not random. They're not out of the Lord's grip and hand and will. His good purposes to bring good news to people like you and me, to bring good out of evil and blessing from sorrow. Here, the Lord of heaven and earth, through the granular detail and the heartaches of Joseph's life, he's raising up a leader, gifted, trained, transformed by suffering in the providence of God, to be one day providing the leadership that would be needed for his family in Canaan to come and get the food that would save them from famine. And through these events, the God of heaven and earth is working to bring the bread of life, Jesus Christ, to be born from this family line, to bring salvation through his sufferings and resurrection. The Lord preserves Joseph so that one day Jesus could be born, and he came willingly, Jesus, didn't he, into the bondage and suffering of this world. His presence was a blessing to others. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk. He forgave sinners. He turned sorrow into joy. He faced powerful temptation from Satan to turn away from the cross, but he kept going the way of the cross. He faced false accusations that led him to the cross, where his enemies meant it for evil, but God meant it for good and salvation for all who turned to him. Joseph points us forward to Jesus. He is the way. He is the gate. He is the path that leads to salvation, to knowing God as Lord and Father. So we can say today by faith, the Lord is with me. Isn't that glorious? You see, you can only say Psalm 23 if you've trusted Christ. You can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me even though I walk through the darkest valley. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Surely your hesed, your loving kindness, will follow me and pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we never stop learning during the school of faith. Whatever we're facing right now, whether it's an up or a down moment, do not doubt, my friends, that the Lord is with you. Don't doubt that he's not working mysteriously for you and your good and his blessing, and make him, pleasing him, front and central, your heart's desire. It's a great truth, isn't it? In the ups and downs of life, the Lord is with his people. One of the great joys of being a pastor is getting into people's lives and being with them in the darkest of times. I was very moved recently and privileged to be with people in tough time. Think of one family with a mother facing terminal cancer. And I was sitting with a family of believers, and they're weeping, of course, at this terminal diagnosis, but also there were tears of joy as they kept saying to me, do you know, Steve, the Lord is so good. He's so good. We see his hand all over this. In the details, he cares, he is with us, he's blessing us, he's giving us hope in this dark valley. There was another couple recently facing great health worries. But I've walked away feeling blessed by them. They're leaning into Jesus, they're trusting Jesus, they're knowing his peace and his presence and love in tough days. It changes everything to know that the Lord is with them. It doesn't take away the pain or the sorrow or the heartache or the grief, but actually it makes all the difference. The Lord is with me. This is not wasted. He is Lord and sovereign, and we're so grateful for his care. I know in my own life, through great joys and great sorrows, the game changer is that the Lord of heaven and earth is with me. I'd be lost without him. It's a great truth, isn't it? In the ups and downs of life, the Lord is with his people. Part of our Anglican liturgy is sometimes we say to people, the Lord be with you, and we reply, and also with you. Wouldn't it be better to say to each other, if you're a believer, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And they reply, and also with you. Hallelujah, we say. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Lord, this truth changes everything. We rejoice in your sovereign hand and the life of Joseph. Thank you that he wanted to live his life before you. Help us to do that. Guard us from sin and foolishness. Keep us clinging to the cross. Keep us rejoicing that the Lord is with us in the joys and sorrows of life. We'd be lost without you, Lord, and we thank you for the hope and strength that gives us. We praise you for your grace and mercy. May we find comfort in that truth today. In Jesus' name, amen.